Becker is playing Metamorphosis 3.
Thank you.
That was Bruce Brubaker playing Metamorphosis 3 by Philip Glass. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 20 past 10. At a quarter to midnight tonight, Marianne Kennedy introduces this week's World on 3. But now, a few minutes later than advertised, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Charles Hazlewood with the second of this evening's proms.
Once upon a time in the West, five intrepid musicians, spurred on by their passion for the film music of Ennio Morricone, came up with a completely new and unclassifiable form of entertainment. They've taken these epic soundtracks and given them new life through a cocktail of conventional and frankly bizarre instruments. And for no more, really, than a fistful of dollars, they are here tonight at the proms. They are, ladies and gentlemen, very good. Some of them may be a little bad, but they're definitely not ugly. I give you the Spaghetti Western Orchestra.
Once upon a time in the West, there were a fistful of men. Men whose only wish was for a long life in the magical world of Italian westerns. But their efforts were destined for the cutting room floor. Celluloid lives cut short by a ruthless Italian director. Through the music of Maestro Ennio Morricone, these restless souls are on a sonic journey, and they're still looking for their man.
What are you folks looking at? Pardon me.
Thank you. Remember that. We're going to call on your services a little later in the show. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, madams and messieurs, mine and damn and Heron and Promers and so on and so forth, without any further prevarication or much ado about nothing, it is indeed my great pleasure to present to you the bank teller. Truly, the storyteller, the Spaghetti Western Orchestra!
This might be the last tune you'll ever hear.
Well, there you are. The Spaghetti Western Orchestra with their take on Ennio Morricone's score to Farewell to Cheyenne, featuring that extraordinary lead guitar solo, literally a tin can, a stick and a bit of string and rather too much of a fuzz box.
Come back and fight.
You'll pay for this.
Hijo de puta.
Thank you.
Marconi medley there. Music from A Fistful of Dollars, Valkyries, and For a Few Dollars More. Right, well, no classic Western, but we complete now without a classic barroom scene. And if you've got beer bottles and you're the Spaghetti Western Orchestra, well, I guess you're here.
Gentlemen, I'm looking for a man. He goes by the name of Bob Robertson. That's Bob Robertson. Mister, I know Bob. Thank you.
The menagerie that is the Spaghetti Western Orchestra. These guys play most things, and as you just heard there, they all play the beer bottles. Kimai, of course, given a kind of low-slung remake.
I beg you, I don't know where he is. Roberto. They're looking for you.
Morricone-inspired gunfight soundscape. Celebrated the art of Foley, really. That's sound effects to you and me. You know, with packing tape, inhalers, a tree branch, cornflakes, and even an umbrella. Now, looks like we're in for a little campfire scene now.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Spaghetti Western Orchestra's idiosyncratic take on the scores of Ennio Morricone live at the Proms. And in that campfire medley, we had music from Two Mules for Sister Sarah, Death Rides a Horse, and 60 Seconds to What? Well, the stage is now bathed in blue. We're moving to an ethereal scene. What might be wind whistling through a graveyard?
Thank you.
The plaintive, and let's face it, idiosyncratic sound of the theremin in the hands, literally, of Graham Leake, echoing around the Albert Hall in music from Once Upon a Time in the West. Well, we're heading for the final scene of this Spaghetti Western Orchestra prom, and the performers are five heroes who, if they represent film extras in the movies of Sergio Leone, have come to some acceptance they'll never make it big. Their lot is to be shutter fodder.
Thank you. Well, folks, sadly, our time here this evening at the Royal Albert Hall of Arts and Sciences is drawing to a close. But before we go, I'd like to present to you, for closer scrutiny, the fine, upstanding members of this ensemble du jour. Over here on the drum kit, the triggered samples, the theremin, the string can, playing the role of the bank teller for tonight's performance. He's from Garoque, Australia, Mr. Graham Leek. On the vibraphone, the orchestral percussion, the miscellaneous grunting, and the principal Jew's harp. He's playing the role of the lie teller for tonight's performance. He's from Sydney, Australia, Mr. Jess Ciampa. Yes. On the pianoforte, the synthesizer, the solo bassoon, and the grand pipe organ of the Royal Albert Hall. Playing quite superbly, I thought, the role of the Goldschmiller for tonight's performance. He's from Box Hill, Australia, Mr. Boris Lee Douglas Conley. The mouth organ and the tiny little packet of cornflakes and the little baby boots. Playing the role quite naturally of the young fella for tonight's performance. He's from No Fixed Address, Australia, Mr. Shannon Burchell. And last, but by certainly no means least, on the trumpet, the whistle, and the tape loops, and the miscellaneous interjections. Playing quite ironically the role of the storyteller for tonight's performance. He's from Nia West, Australia, Mr. Patrick Cronin. Thank you, one and all. We hope to see you once again when we return. So it's good night, arrivederci, and buenas noches from the Spaghetti Western Orchestra.
Listening to the Spaghetti Western Orchestra performing the film music of Ennio Morricone in the only way five Australians and a stage full of instruments and various household objects can. They are extraordinarily versatile. What multi-instrumentalists. You know, one of them typically 1 minute's playing a drum kit, the next a theremin, and the next a string can, like a kind of tin can violin. These guys make Arcade Fire look like a bunch of amateurs. So, we've heard music from Morricone's scores to films, including The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Farewell to Cheyenne, Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, Two Mules for Sister Sarah, Death Rides a Horse, and even Ecstasy of Gold. Of course, Morricone himself, an incredibly prolific composer. He's written something over 500 soundtracks. In the 1960s and 70s, he was composing music for between 10 and 15 films a year. In 1968 alone, his credits ran to a frankly staggering 26 productions. Uh-huh, there's some interesting stuff coming on stage. I think I can see a lettuce. And one of those sort of Lilo pumps, rubber gloves.
That ain't whiskey.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we do have time for just one more tune. And we'd like to finish in the way we started, with perhaps the most famous of the Morricone oeuvre. I've only got three words for you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I think that's five or six words, I'm not sure. But anyways, this time around, you're gonna help us out. So what we're gonna do is divide the audience into two. Down here, the primers, you get to be the goods. The goods! Up here in the top shelf, you get to be the bad. The bad! G gentleman up in that box, you get to be the ugly. The ugly. Someone's got to do it. So what we're going to do is teach you your part. Teach you your part and take it on home. Good people of the Royal Albert Hall, do you think this is a good idea? Okay, let's get to it. Firstly, the good. You know what to do. After four and... give it another go. Yeah. And one, two, three, four. Get there, but I'd like a little more fortissimo, please. And one, two, three. That's it, magnificent. Just take a well-earned break. Okay. The bad and the ugly. You know what you've got to say in response to that, don't you? It's after three. One, two. Ironically, that was quite good. But I'd like you to get a little more bad with it, if you know what I mean. Give it another go. One, two, three. That's it, you're getting there, but you gotta match up to the hoi polloi, remember? After three, and one, two, three. That's it, absolutely magnificent. Let's take it on home. Good people of the Royal Helmet Hall, Greater London and the entire British Isles. Are you ready to sing along with the Spaghetti Western Orchestra? Okay, let's go. One, two, three, four.
Participation here at the Albert Hall.
You've been a wonderful audience. Good night from the Spaghetti Western Orchestra.
Before that, of course, we had another little gunfight soundscape from the Spaghetti Western Orchestra. Probably the first time a lettuce has been utterly smashed to a pulp on the stage at the Albert Hall. Bits of lettuce now strewn over the front of the stage and, of course, over most of the plumbers. The Spaghetti Western Orchestra are Boris Connolly, Jess Champa, Graham Leake, Shannon Birchall, and Patrick Cronin, and their director, Denis Blaise. Well, if you'd like to see a bit more of this prom, you can, of course. You can see all those extraordinary instruments that we're using. It's on BBC 4 TV on Friday, August the 26th. Right, well, you might well imagine that some kind of order returns to the Albert Hall tomorrow, but maybe not. As in another prom's first, the comedy prom, and another Australian, Tim Minchin, is at the centre of the stage and is joined by a raft of stars, including Sue Perkins, Kit and the Widow, Beardy Man, the boy with tape on his face, as well as the soprano Susan Bullock and the BBC Concert Orchestra. And before that, at 3 o'clock, in the first of this year's Saturday matinee concerts at Cadogan Hall, Nicholas Collen conducts the London Sinfonietta in works by Sir Richard Rodney Bennett, Henri Dutilleux and Elizabeth McConchy. But it's time for us to settle up now, I guess, and ride off into the night. And I'll hand you back to John Shea at Broadcasting House.
Charles, thank you very much. That was Charles Hazelwood presenting tonight's late prom live from the Royal Albert Hall.
From the BBC Proms on BBC Radio 3, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, conducted by Valery Gergiev. One of Tchaikovsky's greatest ballet scores, conducted by a great ambassador for Russian music, and a group of musicians who know their Tchaikovsky too, the orchestra of the Mariinsky Theatre, St. Petersburg. A very special Monday night at the BBC Proms on BBC Radio 3, starting at 7:30.
That's in the company of Sarah Moore-Peach. And you may like to know that the conductor, Valery Gergiev, is in conversation with Norman Lebrecht later on Monday evening. That's the Lebrecht interview at 10:15. Well, next, this Friday night, World on Three with Mary Ann Kennedy. That's beginning in about just under a quarter of an hour, just after a quarter to 12. So, in the meantime, let's have some music by Astor Piazzolla. This is his Concerto for Quintet, as rearranged and played by Gidon Kremer and friends on their 1995 recording, Homage to Piazzolla. Thank you. Gidon Kremer and friends playing Astor Piazzolla's Concerto for Quintet. Well, Marianne Kennedy will be here in about 3 or 4 minutes with World on Three, so we've just got time for one more track from the same disc, Gidon Kremer and a slightly different group of friends playing a tango called Esqualo. Squalo by Astor Piazzolla, played by Gidon Kremer and friends. And bringing the time here on BBC Radio 3 to 12 minutes to midnight, time for World on 3 with Marianne Kennedy.
Home turf for me, first off tonight, the tiny village of Roag in Skye is where I used to spend most of my holidays as a kid, and it's where the musical roots of my mum's side are. But it's also home to the Peatbog Fairies, and piper and whistle player Peter Morrison still lives there on his granddad's croft. That was Awen Yn Nahar, Snake River, from their new album Dust, recorded at their Peatbog Studios in the neighbouring township of Orbost, nestling under the distinctive hills of MacLeod's Tables. And it's where the river winds its way down to Lough Farkasig, although not much sign of the adders there these days. I'm Mary-Anne Kennedy, and before I go off on a complete nostalgia trip, let me tell you that tonight's somewhat shorter programme than usual has a fantastic session lined up with the Bibilang Shark Calling Singers from Papua New Guinea, who've travelled to the UK to take part in the Music Planet Prom. You might even be able to hear a little bit of them in the background there as they're setting up for the session. A wee bit jet-lagged, but pretty excited at the whole trip, the very first time they've ever taken their music out of Papua New Guinea. But I'm going to carry on first with another album that defines home for the musicians involved. Liguriani is a quintet of musicians from the northwest coast of Italy, around Genoa. And the music of this Felme release, Suoni dai Mondi Liguri, is a sound world of custom, song and music from the shores of the Mediterranean to the Apennine Mountains behind them. This set comes from the hills, Alessandrina in Re and a Monferrine, drawn from the repertoire of Stefano Vaia, whose instrument is the piffero, a kind of Italian bombard. Thank you. I think you've got to kind of let yourself trip out on that one. A Bato drum group from a new recording of the music of the Garifuna people of Belize in Central America. We've been introduced to the Garifuna culture through the music of the late Andy Palacio and most recently Aurelio. But this album, The Black Caribs of Belize, recorded by Stuart Baker of Soul Jazz Records, goes more rootsy, as you heard there, with the likes of the drum group demonstrating the links with other forms of Afro-Latin music such as Brazilian samba, Haitian voodoo, and the sacred Santeria drums of Cuba. Before that was Liguriani and music from the Genoese coast on their new release, The Sounds of the Ligurian World. Now, I took a trip a few weeks ago to the north of Iceland to sample the country's only folk festival, and the whole event was really quite an eye-opener. I found myself in a part of the world just 40 miles or so south of the Arctic Circle, surrounded by a landscape that was, for all the world, like being in the very far northern wilds of Sutherland up north, and of many other things that had me feeling quite at home in Siglufjordur. The main thing had to be that the Icelanders' musical traditions are rooted in song. Either that, or the fact that Icelanders' DNA has a healthy dose of Celtic women in there, thanks to the slaves they brought with them in that first settlement of the island. Culturally, I think Icelanders identify more with the sagas of their literary traditions, but there are efforts starting out now to get people connected with their traditional music again, and in particular the rhyme chanting that is unique to Iceland. Songs sung in open harmonies by two singers or a whole community, as I saw in Siglufjordur's beautiful little music centre. I watched film from, at least 40 years ago of this fantastic old guy with a belter of a voice leading the singing at a sheepfank, everybody joining in. It was really quite special. And it was only later that I learned that I'd been listening to the grandfather of one of Iceland's finest contemporary traditional singers. And here she is, Bára Grímsdóttir, with a song in that harmonising style called Funi, or Fire.
Álits fagur funi er flýgur létt grundi höfuð jafnan háleitt ber rífur hvert sem til hans sér. Böndum jörðin
Bára Grimsdóttir, backed by Englishman John Kirkpatrick on various reeds there. That was from our album Funi, and thanks to everyone in Siglo who welcomed us to the festival and helped to make the trip a memorable one. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy here on World on 3, and tonight's session guests are set to give us another unforgettable experience. Radio 3's partner series to BBC One's Human Planet was Music Planet, and it saw Lucy Duran and Andy Kershaw heading off to some of the most remote parts of the world in search of new musical experiences. And some of the musicians they visited in those different parts of the world have made the return journey to take part in this year's proms. Amongst them, the Bibilang Shark Callers of Papua New Guinea. They've come into the studio to share some of those unique songs, and they're going to start out with a song called Lucy Gillick. Fantastic stuff. The Bibilang Shark Calling Group from Papua New Guinea, and I have with me here their manager, Jonathan Teiko, to explain a wee bit more about the music. First of all, Jonathan, first trip to the UK for the singers, first time out of Papua New Guinea, in fact. What an experience to be coming to London to perform as part of the BBC proms.
Everything was new to us here. The boys themselves being their first time out of Papua New Guinea, they really find it difficult to understand all the different changes. It's not like back at home, the trees, the waters and all that, we are attached to the land. But here, there's all these buildings, the roads, the vehicles, everything is so complicated here. Very big change, and the boys themselves are finding it very difficult to cope at first, but now they're starting to
Warm up
now.
They'll be pure Londoners by the time they go home.
I hope so.
Tell us a little bit more about home, about New Ireland, where the boys come from.
In New Ireland province, the boys, the Bibilang, they come from the Tambin village. That's on the western part, coast of New Ireland. There's no electricity there. The road itself is a small dirt road. We don't have as many vehicles like we have here. Just one or two every day that travels up. Basically, you'll see one or two bicycles there. No mobile phone connections. The radio network coverage doesn't cover the place. It's like that back there in our village in Tembin.
And what role does music play in the community?
Well, something very big about the music is they use these songs basically to talk about the spirits of the world that gave them give them something back. Or they use the songs to call upon their ancestors to help them going out for hunting to catch sharks, fishing for sharks and all that. Songs play a very vital part in calling like their ancestor spirit to help them.
Tell me about that first song that we heard, Lucy Gillick.
It's about two brothers going out into the bush, and they saw a new plant there. And they tried cooking it, and it was really good. So they took out the plant. It's called taro back at our place, taro. They started planting it and started distributing the taro to the different villages back at home. And this particular food now, the taro food, is very vital. And they believe that taro comes right from Tembin village, from the two brothers. And they made these songs up.
We're going to talk in a little while about the shark calling itself, because that's a fantastic thing we heard about on the Music Planet series. But sing us something else now. Tell us about this next one.
It's about a man going out to sea. He went out there for the shark calling by himself. And suddenly when he came back with the conch shell blowing, everyone was surprised that he went out to sea and did a catch. It's a shark song.
So this is Kakan Karau.
Yes.
Thanks so much to the Bibilang Shark Calling Group, and there's more from them later on in tonight's World on Three. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy here on BBC Radio 3, and this next Bijou track comes from a singer we first heard during our Celtic Connections Festival residency in Glasgow at the beginning of the year. Rachel Sermani hails from Carrbridge in the Scottish Highlands, and she's starting to make some serious waves in the UK new folk scene, attracting the attention of the likes of Mumford & Sons, Noah and the Whale and Admiral Fallow. She's currently working on a new recording with Travis producer Ian Grimble, but this comes from a recent EP recorded back home in the Highlands in a wee bothy in the back of Beyond.
You're a lost soul, I know you're kind, for I have followed them, never quite found myself where you all go to lose yourselves. Close my mouth not to ask for help, but my mother knows my eyes too well. You're a truth speaker with a heart of gold. Please keep me close, for I'd like to learn some. With fool's gold I try to hide my tongue, but from you speaks the very sun, and I pray that you will always hold on.